For years, we've seen gorillas on screen, from stop-motion King Kong to Andy Serkis as Caesar. But how accurate are these cinematic portrayals? University of Georgia anthropology professor Roberta Salmi studies simian behavior and wants to improve Hollywood's gorillas. She was a consultant on War for the Planet of the Apes, which is showing nationwide in theaters right now, and she joins me from Athens. Dr. Salmi, good morning. Good to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
Well, you know, I want to start with this idea of how much thought you've given over the years to kind of the depictions, the portrayals of gorillas in films. Generally speaking, over the years, what have you thought of them?
Well, let's say that for long times, gorilla has been portrayed as violent beast, ruled by instinct, with sexual drive. And so this is changing through time thanks to great documentary movies, as well as some other movies like Gorillas in the Mist,
yeah,
which shows the behaviors of those gorillas. So, but we need still to work on it.
You know, it's interesting. Why do you think those were the depictions of gorillas as violent creatures?
Surely the similarities with humans being apes, as well as the huge size of those creatures, like 400 pounds, this very strength, the strength that they have, obviously have impacted the our imaginations for sure. But I think also cartoonists in the beginning of the century use this gorillas like features to denigrate different other groups, like for instance British with the Irish, white Americans at the beginning of the centuries for African Americans. So that also was something that is used quite often in the pop culture.
Yeah. I want to play a bit of an interview from MSNBC. This is with the famed primatologist Jane Goodall. Before I play the clip, what are your thoughts on Jane Goodall and her contributions to this space?
She is obviously one of the most important primatologists that we have. She was able to, since the 60s, on working on chimpanzees, discovering amazing things that those chimpanzees do, but also saving them and working on their conservation.
Yeah, and she's a hero of yours. Is that fair to say?
Yes, of course.
this is her talking about the importance of humanizing apes in movies.
When you watch this film, or when you're with the animals, you realize that they really do have very different personalities. They have minds capable of thinking and solving problems, and they certainly have emotions. And so when people say, oh, Disney humanizes them, Disney is showing people what is actually there.
So, Dr. Salmi, what does it mean to you? Because you're working in this space now, helping these studios humanize these animals. What does it mean to you to humanize gorillas and apes, chimpanzees?
More than humanize it, just to show how beautiful they are and how they can have a very clear emotions and the importance that they, we really need to, the problem is here that those species are critically endangered. So any type of attentions and awareness that we can, through the entertainment world.
Sure.
It's very, very important.
Yeah.
So, when you work with them in the forest, you obviously see all those emotions.
Oh, I want to talk
empathy.
About that. Yeah, I want to talk about that in a second. But tell me how you look. The production team behind the 2014 film, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, found you. How did they find you? I mean, did they even know that you had done so much work in this space? Were you campaigning for better portrayals of gorillas in movies, and that's how they found you? How did they come to know you and your work?
So they actually found me very late, just few weeks before the release of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was contacted by the supervising sound director of the movie, that is Douglas Murray.
Yeah.
And he found out about my work through a Wired magazine article that features one of my first papers on the topic. And so he realized that there was someone that maybe had some good recordings of gorillas, which are very uncommon. And I think most of the calls that has been used in the entertainment world are actually produced by other animals or even humans.
Ooh, let's do that. Let's get to some of the sounds. You provided us with some gorilla sounds here. I want you to take a listen to this first one that you provided for us, and you describe it as a cough grunt.
Yes.
Okay, so what can you tell me about that sound?
So this is a female that is cough grunting, and it's a mild threat sound. So it's generally given before any real fight starts, or just to avoid that any group members approaches, or during a feeding competition situation.
Okay, I want to jump around a little bit because you've got some great sounds here. This is described as hooting, gorilla hooting. Did I get that right? Is that gorilla hooting?
Yes, this is again a female, adult females that is hooting, and this is was one of the calls that I found out to be used differently between the Western gorillas, that is the species that I study, and the mountain gorillas, that is the Diane Fossey's gorillas, the one hairy.
Okay, so let's play another clip here, and then I'll have you describe what it is that we're hearing in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good one. What are we hearing there?
So this one is a sex whinny. So the sex whinny is used by Western gorilla as a courtship. So male and females may initiate sex in the species, but the male, when it does, is generally very staring at a female that he wants would like to copulate and approaching her doing this whinny, grumbling sound.
And of course, I had to work that one into the program. Yeah. Look, I want to talk about you a bit. You spent 18 months in the forest of the Northern Republic of the Congo collecting, it says here, wow, 2,000 recordings of gorilla vocalizations. This was for your PhD work. What were some of the challenges of getting that work done? Take me back.
So The recording vocalizations in the wild, it's very difficult because there is a lot of background noise that can be birds, can be insects, can be just the gorillas walking on foliage, can be me, the trackers that I work with doing other sounds and noises. So it's very, very difficult. So you need to do so with groups that are highly habituated to the presence of humans. And the group that I work with, it's one of the best to do this kind of work. I work with the same group in 2003, and I collaborate in the habituation process of the same group. So only there I could go and do this kind of work.
Well, I'm curious, how much of a threat do these animals that you clearly love to study face today?
They are really endangered. All four subspecies of Western gorillas are critically endangered. So they can disappear in few generations. So we really need to actively work to protect them. Especially now, I work on Western lowland gorillas, which is one of the population subspecies that have highest numbers. But still, even an outbreak of Ebola virus can completely wipe out the populations. So just recently there's been a survey done on the eastern lowland gorillas, another subspecies of gorillas, and their numbers dropped from 17,000 to less than 4,000 in less than 20 years. So those species are slowly disappearing, actually fast, very disappearing. So we really need to act. Immediately.
Is there still a market for gorillas, for poachers, for skeletons, for skulls?
More than that is for bushmeat, hunting for bushmeat. So they are still being eaten in West Africa, also in the east part of DRC, of Democratic Republic of Congo. There is a very high population. There are at least 90 groups of rebels that... are there to do illegal mining and so on. So there is a lot of pressures to the forest, and the gorillas are big and can provide a lot of meat. So bushmeat, it's a very big problem.
And I guess lastly for me, do these movies, and we're happy that you're working with the studios to create more accurate depictions of gorillas, but do these movies run the risk of perpetuating the myth that gorillas are vicious and dangerous?
I don't think so. I mean, all the saga of the Planet of the Apes has something different from how they were portrayed in previous movies. So they seem very intelligent. Obviously, they talk, they do things that the real animals don't do, but still can change the image of apes that we had, or the general public has. Mm.
Dr. Salmi, appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
And thank you.
Dr. Roberta Salmi, she is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Georgia.